And so back to Tasmania and lichens. Meet Dr. Gintras Kantvilas, who must be the world king of lichens. And the question is, which is the Australian capital?
Well, based on energy of lichenologists, it's got to be Hobart.
Okay, which is second?
Well, we have to pay homage to Canberra. There's a few lichenologists there. In terms of diversity of species, Queensland has the greatest number at present, not surprisingly, given its latitude and altitude and so on. But there's no one working on them up there, so let's stick with Hobart.
Hobart's fine, that's where we are, and I've got some wonderful specimens to look at. But I wonder, when you introduce yourself at parties and people look at you bemused, do you get the impression that people notice lichens when they go out and about? Do they see them? Do they understand what they're looking at?
No, generally they don't, and I think that's the amazing thing, because they sort of look at you quizzically. A lichenologist, what's that? But then you start pointing out that, you know, the rocks around the seashore aren't orange, you know, it's the lichens, or that tree in the bush hasn't got white bark, it's the lichens on them, and so on. And then suddenly you sort of say to them that, well, go out and have a look at your roof. We don't have to go very far. Go and look on the rubbers of my car. And the lichens are there. So they're everywhere. And I think that's the exciting thing for people.
As we've famously discussed, the combination in lichens of an alga and a fungus. Now, in my innocence, I just assumed it was always like that. One of one sort and one of the other, living together, doing what they need for each other. Bit of cooperation going on. But you're here to tell me it's more than just one plus one.
Indeed I am. One of the things we're looking at here, it's a typical green leafy lichen, and I think everyone's got these on their trees and on rocks around Australia. And it's the genus Xanthopalmelia. Now, the critical thing to remember with a lichen symbiosis is that the name is attached to the fungus. In a sense, the alga is a bit of a pedestrian. I mean, in fact, the fungi people sometimes claim that lichens are just a funny lifestyle for fungi. But I think that lichens are pretty special and lichenologists have the lifestyle. But that's another story. But anyway, so you're quite right. Usually it's one fungus plus one alga equals one lichen, and the name belongs to the fungal bit. So that every unique lichen has a unique fungus. But it's never that simple. And the next thing we're looking at here, it's a lichen of the genus Plecopsis. Plecopsis is everywhere around the highlands of Australia. And this is an amazing thing, because here now we have one fungus, that's the Plecopsis bit, and two algae. It's got a green alga. So now the green alga enables the lichen to photosynthesize. But it's also got a blue-green alga inside it. And if we look at this specimen here, the blue-green alga bits are discrete little units. So the blue-green alga enables the lichen to fix nitrogen. So we've got two algae, one fungus, and we've got two wonderful sources of making food. Great plan.
Yeah, one thing I must ask you though, looking at the first one we looked at, which is the one-on-one, which is a green crust with various eruptions here and there, and the other one, which is 2 plus 1, pink, both have algae, and algae need water. So where's the water come from in this case?
Well, it comes from the rain and from mist. And in fact, I often say to my partner in the morning, I say, great day for ducks, great day for lichens, those sort of lovely misty days. So that's why they're out there in a lot of desert areas too. You might say there's no rain, but there's always a bit of morning dew, a bit of morning mist, and that's where they get their moisture from.
So here we've had 2 plus 1. What are the odds on increasing those numbers?
Well, we can have a 2 plus 1, but this time the next thing we're looking at here is a case of 2 fungi and 1 alga. Now, the main lichen is a species of Calloplacha, and we've all seen Calloplachas. That's that orange coloration around coastal rocks. And the exciting thing here is a second fungus, and it's a fungus called Arthonia insularis. I hope you don't mind me using these big names.
I love the big names, but isn't it wonderful that there is such cooperation that you can have three living together in peace.
Well, indeed it is. And I think the exciting thing is that the Arthonia, that's the second fungus, isn't just randomly jumping around on one lichen or another. It's only on this particular one. So where I collected this, there are three or four species of Calloplaca all growing intertwined, but the fungus, the second fungus, was only on the one species. And I remember once years ago at a conference, the mycologist David Hawksworth was exhorting people to study these fungi. And he made the point that these fungi are better taxonomists than we are. They really know the differences. And he's quite right, because there I was sort of looking at this mass of orange and I really couldn't tell the species apart. But the black secondary fungus was only ever on one species.
You're implying that it has to go out and look. In other words, it's a solitary creature in search of a place. And once it's found the place, it becomes part of the threesome.
Well, yes, now you've touched on one of the mysteries. And this is a question that's asked a lot, because there's no doubt that some of these lichens get around. How do they get there? And how do they find their spot? Is quite remarkable. I think we have to assume that there's a lot of spores flying around out there, and these things are remarkable at just finding the right spot.
Well, we've scored a threesome. Going up any?
Yep, let's try a foursome. So now the next one we're looking at is two fungi and two algae. So what we have is a lichen with the wonderful name Diplochistes muscorum, and that's actually a lichen that's composed of one particular fungus, Diplochistes, and an alga, which is a filamentous green alga. It's a thing called Trentopolia. And that's growing intimately associated with another lichen, which is a Cladonia. And the Cladonia is of the Cladonia fungus plus a single-celled green alga. And these things live quite happily together. So it's a four-way job.
Whitish, greyish. Finally, you've got some green stuff.
Well, to me, this one's the absolute cracker. Now, what we're looking at here is a green leafy lichen. It's a magnificent beast from the rainforests, and it belongs to the genus Sticta. And these are these beautiful green lettuce-like growths that you'll see in cool forests, certainly in the eastern part of and southern part of Australia. And what you have there is a green alga and the fungus called Sticta. Now, this fungus is a funny thing, and it can actually associate with a blue-green alga as well. And the trouble is, when it does it, it looks completely different.
Looks like a Brillo pad.
Well, indeed it does, or you could say a blue-green shrubby thing. Now, traditionally, the way we classify lichens has been, if something looks different, it gets a different name. But we've also got to remember that if it's the same fungus involved, it can only ever have one name. So here we have a case where when it's associated with a green alga, it's been called Sticta, and when it was associating with a blue-green alga, it was called Dendriscocaulin. And of course, that's a no-no in taxonomy, because one fungus is one name. But here you've got two things looking so different from each other. And what do you do? And just to make matters interesting, here it is where you've got a single plant and it's got bits showing the green alga, that's the green leaves, and you can see also the blue-green shrubby bits. So it's a great one for taxonomic debate.
But how new is this debate? Because I remember one of the last times we chatted about these lichens, you said, look, here we've got pictures of lichens which are terribly well known, and yet they haven't even been worked on scientifically. They're not even named, and yet they're on posters, you know, famously stuck on people's walls. So how recent is this complexity that you've been describing?
I think the complexity has been appreciated for quite a long time. And this case that I've described, where you've got the same fungus and looking completely different depending on what alga it's associated with, that work was done in the 70s by a man called Peter James in London, who happened to be my PhD supervisor as well. And that was really pivotal work, because in those days they didn't have a lot of fancy gear. These days we'd probably do it with DNA and God knows what. He did it with fine sectioning and microscope work with a colleague in Germany. So they did it that way. And this was quite a discovery, the fact that you had these two organisms that actually represented the same fungus. And I suppose when I say it's a conundrum, well, The rules of botanical nomenclature say it isn't a conundrum, but it's a conundrum to me because I rather like to have different names attached to things that look different and behave differently. And this one rather flies in the face of that. But we have to stick with the rules.
I always think of them as pioneers, you know, with the earth before it was covered in growing things and all those tall trees, long, long before. They were the ones that seemed to come ashore. Who knows? Is that just a legend or is it true that they were the explorers way back?
Well, I think there's no doubt about the fact that lichens are colonisers and they're the first things you'll see on a bit of concrete in the garden or on your roof, and a young tree growing in the bush will have smudges of colour on it and that'll be the incipient lichens. But I always hesitate with this notion when people say it's primitive. You know, like I remember one time, I think when they sent that first device off to Mars, and I read an article in some illustrious magazine that said maybe they'll find something primitive, maybe as primitive as a lichen. And I thought, well, lichens are simple, but they're certainly not primitive. And I think for a start, you need to evolve the fungus, you need to evolve the alga, and you would need to evolve this remarkable way these two things come together. I think it's not a legend, but it's like everything, it needs modification.
Indeed, like us. But just a final thing, as we said in the beginning, you can see some of these pictures of what we've been looking at on the Science Show website, and the pictures are truly amazing. And my final question to you, just in a word, how many lichen specimens have you got in this herbarium?
Can I have three words? About 50,000.
Thank you.
Pleasure, thank you.
50,000 indeed, and he knows the names of all of them, I'll bet. The Lichen King, Dr. Gintras Kantvilas, at the Herbarium in Hobart. Next week on The Science Show, one of the biggest stories in decades. Watch this space. And don't forget Catalyst on Tuesday at 8 p.m. on ABC Television. Production today by David Fisher and Andrei Shabanov. I'm Robin Williams.